I learned a great lesson from my friend Shalom Plotkin in Cleveland. He had been a congregational rabbi and at a certain point decided he was going to take a different direction in his life. And he started a elder care company which provided low-cost home health aides for elderly people who wanted to remain in place, to age in place. And that was all to the well and good, and he's still doing that, and his company is successful. But in the early days, he needed to drum up business because he was the new guy in town. His wife was from Cleveland. He was not. And so he went to some of the different homes, the Jewish homes, and would host these events so that people would get to know him. And at one of these homes, he provided at his own cost an ice cream social. And he had vanilla ice cream, and he had chocolate ice cream, and he had some fresh strawberries and a couple of other things. And he talked, and he asked the people, so how was everything? And one person just scowled at him and said, no chocolate sauce. Next time you need chocolate sauce. And I looked at him, and I was like, well, that had to be a little annoying. You're giving them free ice cream, and this is the response you get? And Shalom was like, oh, no, that's okay. That's how I know they're still alive. We are in the Parsha of complaining. This is an amazing Parsha, Baha Lo Techa. There are so many complaints here, and a friend and colleague of mine wrote a sermon on trust, which is not where I'm going, but he was kind enough to enumerate these 20 occasions in our Parsha where there's a breakdown in trust. And going through the list, I think about 18 of them come out as complaints, right? This is when you talk about Jews being a complaining people. Well, this is sort of our amazing example of it. But I want to look at just one example of complaint that occurs in our Parsha. It's in chapter 11, verse 4. And it's the essence of complaining in some ways. Ve'asaf suf asher bekerbo hitavu ta'ava ve'yashvu ve'yivku. And the riffraff, the gathered, in their midst felt a craving for craving. And then they complained. You'll notice there's no object to the craving. They just have a craving that's not being met, and so they're upset. Now, eventually, just a couple verses later, that you know, when a two-year-old has a temper tantrum and you can't sort of identify why, okay. But when a 50-year-old has a temper tantrum and you can't figure out why, not as good. So you've got to come up with a reason for what your desire is that needs a complaint. And in this case, it's settled on that they wanted meat. But interesting, they say it's not just that they wanted meat. They wanted meat for free like the fish in Egypt. And Egypt had early aquaculture. They early on had that. But the Meshech Chochma, 1800s, a commentator from the 1800s, Meir Kohen, does something very beautiful with this about that fish for free. He says, we already know in the desert that the Jews couldn't just have meat however they wanted. They already had these laws of kashrut, right? We already had Sinai, and in Deuteronomy 12, where Moses is repeating everything that's happened, we learn, you know, you have to shecht an animal in a way that causes minimal pain, all the sorts of rules. And he says what they were complaining about was that they wanted to eat meat with no boundaries whatsoever, without the laws of kashrut. And I think that that we can hear in these things two different reasons, among many reasons, as to why we complain. One, I think sometimes we complain when people put restrictions on us. We just don't like it. And whenever something comes in, whether it's tax time or take out the garbage or whatever it is you may complain about, right? That limitation on us is one of the things that can bring it up. But that deeper message that I think starts out is that sometimes we just want to complain because it's a desire for a desire If we complain, like my friend Sholem says, you know you're still alive. Something, I want to get riled up. I want to feel the passion of something to complain about, because then I'll know I'm here. In fact, I wanted to come up with a variation on cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am, in Latin, and say I complain, therefore I am. But when I opened up my old Latin dictionary from middle school and high school, I discovered there were 9 different words for complain, and I didn't know which would be the right one. I complain, therefore I am. Life unfolds the way it unfolds, and we don't all get exactly what we want. Sometimes we don't give very much of what we want. But we just sang Tov Lehodot. It's good to give thanks to God morning and night. So here's a charge. As you go through this next week, keep a little complaint journal for yourself. For some of us, an index card's enough. For others, you might want to get one of those big leather-bound things with hundreds of pages. It looks very impressive. And write down your complaints that occur and sort of ask, what is the source of this complaint? Am I complaining just to complain? Do I have a desire just because I want to feel alive and have a desire? Is somebody requesting or asking something of me, or some other reason? Because I bet you that if we all do that and look back at it at the end of the week, we might find we have a little bit less to complain about. Shabbat Shalom.